Okay. Good morning again. That was my sound check. It works good.
Yes.
I don't know about you, but always watching those clips of the talk about Shoebox Sunday, always a tremendous privilege to be able to get involved and to play a part, and the joy it brings to children's faces, and those comments in there that actually we are doing more than just a shoebox. There's a message of hope, and there's a message of the good news of the gospel that accompanies those shoeboxes. And it never fails to amaze me at the small difference that it can make, not just in some other country, but in tears in this room, as we realise that we can play a part in the bigger picture. Claire mentioned it earlier, but just before I share what I want to share today, this morning we have Ashwood News is available, and as well as Ashwood News, we've also got some details with information on with all the stuff that's happening in Ashwood Church over the Christmas December season. And the idea with these is not only that you get to see what's coming up to make sure that it impacts your own diary, but we're really hoping, and we're very, very aware that over the Christmas season, there's lots of opportunities for us to invite people to connect with church. So there's lots of fun stuff, there's lots of family things. We try not to overload our calendar because we know that it's a busy time, but actually we're well aware that there are some great opportunities for us to connect with people, to invite people in a fun, friendly environment, and also to connect them with church. So you'll have one of these in your Ashwood News. We've got lots of extras as well. So it is kind of for you, but do we have two? Do we have two? There's two, okay. So there is opportunities for you. The idea is that you'll keep one for information for yourself. If you put these things in your fridge, then there's one for your fridge. But there's also one, or maybe two, for you to give to someone else. Because we're all about helping people find and follow Jesus, aren't we? And it gives us Christmas is a great opportunity for us to do that. Also, in Ashwood News, just a very quick mention. Those of you who read Ashwood News before will know that we were looking within church to ask people to apply for two particular roles that we wanted to put out that will strengthen what we're doing within church. So just a quick announcement that those two roles that we talked about over the last few weeks have now been filled. We had excellent candidates, and Louise Weber will take on the role of community support role, which is fantastic. And Sally's taken on the role of the church trustee administrative support, which is excellent. We know that both of them will do a fantastic job. And it's true that actually, if we're going to be successful in all the things that we want to do as church, we're always actually going to be most dependent on volunteers. And you know, I look around the room this morning, see so many people who volunteer in so many different ways to do the things that we want to do within church, and that will always be the case. But from time to time, there will be roles that we want to just grow the capacity of what we want to do and what we need to be able to do within church. You'll also read in Ashwood News, therefore, that we're looking to further increase that the roles within church that we support and we pay for. So we're looking to strengthen what we do in terms of young people and youth particularly. So we are also advertising a new role that looks to strengthen what we do in terms of youth work within the church. We're really excited about that, something that we've been thinking about, looking at for a while. So you'll be able to read about that in Ashwood News as well. Is that okay? Brilliant. You can have that one, Zoe. Good. Now, this morning, I want to talk for just a few minutes about something which I think affects us all. And it's represented here in this room. It's something that is core to who we are as church. If you've been around Ashwood Church right when it first started, you'll know that in those days, when I was only that big, talked a lot about relationships and how important they are for us as church. And as time moves on, you'll know that if you've been around a while, you'll often hear us talking about friendships and relationships. They're so important to who we are. We value people, we honor people, we love one another, and we embrace the teaching that the Bible teaches about friendships and relationships. And actually, I believe that whilst this is something that is really strong, and it's a core part of who we are within church, I actually believe that in this season that that God wants to take us to another level, that God wants to grow something which is already strong within us. So this morning I want to just take a few moments to think about friendship, but not just any old friendship, think about what authentic friendship looks like. If I asked you to recount some famous friendships, I guess we'd all come up with slightly different ones. A few of my favourites. How many people remember Laurel and Hardy? Quite a moving friendship was growing up. There's comedy friendships, of course. There's celebrity friendships. There's political friendships, of course. And there's plenty of fictional friendships, of course, as well. Famously, Woody and Buzz, that lovely song, "You've Got a Friend in Me," which I won't sing for you right now, but... something like, well, it sort of goes something like, "You've got a friend in me, da da da, you got a friend in me." Da, 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 da. Yeah, and then that bit after that. That was the reason why I wasn't going to sing it to you, but you asked. And then, there's other movie friendships which are significant, and I'm just waiting to see which one was the next one that comes up. Oh, yes. Well, I know there's a lot of people. Not everyone will recognise this. This is Frodo and Sam from Lord of the Rings. I know there are some people who are big Lord of the Rings fans, and very topical, another topical friendship about to hit our screens again very soon. Of course, Star Wars once again just around the corner, and I'm sure we've all shed a tear when Han Solo and a good impersonation of Chewbacca there. And those of you who've not into Star Wars, of course, you're wondering what we're talking about. That's fine. And of course, while we're thinking about man's relationship with furry friends, it is said that man's best friend is, of course, a dog. Those of you who know me will know that that's not something I'm particularly aligned with. But I know there are other people who have strong affections towards our canine friends. And as we talk this morning, at the end of the morning, perhaps you'll be able to tell me whether what I want to talk about applies to that relationship with a man and his dog. And the reason, of course, that there are so many examples, you could come up with loads more. I'm sure we could all think of lots of different friendships that happen within the films. The reason that so many films, of course, centre on friendship is because it's a theme which resonates with all of us. And we all know that the very basic human need that all of us want to be loved, and of course love finds its way into our lives many times through friendships. And many of us have been affected, hopefully, by some really good friendships. And probably most of us have at some point experienced some difficulty or even painful friendships. And you might think, well, isn't friendship pretty straightforward? Well, maybe it is. But is authentic friendship the norm? Well, maybe it isn't always. Just very quickly, some statistics. Apparently, 1 in 7 Britons say that they are severely isolated and lonely. 25% of the population say that they don't have one single person they can discuss important matters with, not a spouse, a family member, or a friend. And in the same survey from 1985, people say the number of close friends that they have has dropped on average from 4 to only 2. And of course, these days we have social media, and there's loads of different ways that we can connect and communicate, and we can see and speak message people all over the world. It's fantastic. But of course, it's possible to have hundreds of virtual friends without having one meaningful, authentic friendship. Recent quote said this: "We're living in an isolation that would have been unimaginable for our ancestors, and yet we've never been more accessible." So this morning, I just want to take a few moments to think of what authentic friendship looks like. I want to encourage us. I want to strengthen us. And I want to look, of course, at what the Bible says. Proverbs 27, verse 9 says, "The heartfelt counsel of a friend is as sweet as perfume and incense." Or the Message version says, "Just as lotions and fragrance give delight, a sweet friendship refreshes the soul." And those of us who have experienced the joys of good, authentic friendships will know that that actually is a great analogy. And there's lots of examples of friendships in the Bible. I love the story of Ruth and Naomi. But this morning, I just want to take a few moments to look at another very, very famous story, of friendship in the Old Testament, that's found in 1 Samuel 18 between David and Jonathan. I'm just going to read some of this together. If you want to follow in your own Bible, then go ahead. If you want to follow on the screen, then the words will be up there too. And I was reading this story quite recently, and it hit me once again how powerful and how significant the friendship is and was between David and Jonathan. And just to give you the context, this part of the story, great story, David's just defeated Goliath, the big Philistine giant, cut off his head, victory, and Saul says, you know, "Who's this guy? Who's the guy who's just won this victory for us?" And his response is, "This is Jesse's son." Saul's so impressed that he says, "He must come and serve under me. He must come and live with me." And Saul invites David to come and live in the palace, in the king's residence. And then that's where we pick up the story here. So in verse 1, chapter 18, "After David had finished talking with Saul, he met Jonathan, the king's son. There was an immediate bond between them, for Jonathan loved David. From that day on, Saul kept David with him and wouldn't let him return home. Jonathan made a solemn pact with David because he loved him as he loved himself. Jonathan sealed the pact by taking off his robe and giving it to David, together with his tunic, sword, bow, and belt. Whatever Saul asked David to do, David did it successfully. So Saul made him a commander over the men of war, an appointment that was welcomed by the people and Saul's officers alike. When the victorious Israelite army was returning home after David had killed the Philistine, women from all the towns of Israel came out to meet King Saul. They sang and danced for joy with tambourines and cymbals. This was their song: Saul has killed his thousands and David his 10,000s. This made Saul very angry. "What's this?" he said. "They credit David with 10,000s and me with only thousands. Next they'll be making him their king." So from that time on, Saul kept a jealous eye on David. The very next day, a tormenting spirit from God overwhelmed Saul, and he began to rave in his house like a madman. David was playing the harp, as he did each day, but Saul had a spear in his hand, and he suddenly hurled it at David, intending to pin him to the wall, but David escaped him twice. Saul was then afraid of David, for the Lord was with David and had turned away from Saul. Finally, Saul sent him away and appointed him commander over 1,000 men. David faithfully led his troops into battle. David continued to succeed in everything he did, for the Lord was with him. When Saul recognized this, he became even more afraid of him. But all Israel and Judah loved David because he was so successful at leading his troops into battle." Just to move on, just to pick up a later part of the story, chapter 19, start of that, just to finish off this bit. Verse 1, "Saul now urged his servants and his son Jonathan to assassinate David. But Jonathan, because of his strong affection for David, told him what his father was planning. Tomorrow morning," he warned him, "you must find a hiding place out in the fields. I'll ask my father to go out there with me and I'll talk to him about you. Then I'll tell you everything I can find out." The next morning, Jonathan spoke with his father about David, saying many good things about him. "The king must not sin against his servant David," Jonathan said. He's never done anything to harm you. He's always helped you in any way he could. Have you forgotten about the time he risked his life to kill the Philistine giant and how the Lord brought a great victory to all Israel as a result? You were certainly happy about it then. Why should you murder an innocent man like David? There's no reason for it at all. So Saul listened to Jonathan and vowed, as surely as the Lord lives, David will not be killed. And the story goes on, and as usual on a Sunday, I'd encourage you to take a moment to read the rest of the story. But as we think about what authentic friendship looks like, what can we learn from this relationship between David and Jonathan? I love asking kids the question, what are the important things or qualities that you look for in a friend? And depending on how old they are, normally, if you've ever tried doing this, then normally the answer is normally to do with sharing, either sweets or toys. And it's about being kind to one another. And some things change as we grow older, and some things don't change, do they? But if we ask ourselves, what are the characteristics, what are the things that are important that we can learn from David and Jonathan about authentic friendship? I've got three things. What does authentic friendship require? Well, the first one I've got here is loyalty. Apparently, in a survey a couple of years ago, the most important answer to this question of what is important in authentic friendships, loyalty was top of the list. Proverbs 3 verse 3 says, "Do not lose your grip on love and loyalty. Tie it around your neck and carve it on your heart." I don't know if you have any stories going back to your school days, those of you who can remember, of times when perhaps we got up to a little bit of mischief, and we might have been with our friends and we're all together, and then suddenly the headmaster or headmistress in my case comes on the scene, and before you know it, you thought you were stood with all your friends, but actually you find yourself standing in isolation on your own. Does anyone else remember those school days? Well, Jonathan was loyal to David. Jonathan's father Saul was plotting to kill him, but nowhere do we see Jonathan going along with his father. He stood up for David, in fact. And Jonathan had every reason to resent David. He knew that God had chosen David to be the next king, but this position would naturally have been passed on to Jonathan. And yet Jonathan pledged his loyalty to his friend. And what does loyalty mean today? What does it look like? Well, I think there's three things that we can see that Jonathan shows us. The first is this: loyalty means being faithful. Apparently, the Hebrew word for faithful is aman, which means support, to uphold, and to nourish. And in the New Testament, the Greek word is pistos, which means trustworthy, means reliable, it means able to be depended on. And if we ask ourselves the question, are we loyal? Well, I guess part of that is, do these words describe us? Are we supportive? Are we trustworthy? Are we dependable? Are we reliable? Do we nourish and uphold our friends? I love that little phrase, don't you? That actually I know I've got friends who, when we're together, I come away feeling nourished, not just because they fed me, and upheld because of just spending time with good friends. And perhaps one word that summarizes all of these is commitment. If we're loyal, we're committed. And of course, in this story, being loyal means that we stay committed long after the mood dies down for the promises that we've made. We see that from Jonathan, that he makes a commitment to David, and it's not a feeling, it's lived out in his actions. The second thing that loyalty means today is staying true to your word. To do with having integrity. It means doing what we say we're going to do, and we are the same in private as we are in public. And sometimes some of these things can be really small, can't they, in terms of staying true to our word. You know, when we say to people, we're going to do something, let's get together, I'll be praying for you. They're sometimes they're small things, but really important that we stay true to our word. I'm sure you have many examples as well. I heard someone say, words prove who you want to be, but your actions prove who you actually are. I think that's true. The third thing that loyalty means is about speaking up and speaking well. In this story, Jonathan spoke up many times. He interceded on behalf of David. In fact, many times he stood up against his dad. In that passage we've just read, he's saying, Dad, David's fought for us. He's done well. He's had victories. Why would you want to kill him? He's for us. And in our society and in our culture, sometimes being silent is as good as agreeing with what other people are saying about us. How many times do we find ourselves in situations where people are talking about maybe our friends, and that actually we don't speak up? It's easier to be silent. Someone else said this: the silence of your friends is worse than the shouting of your enemies. And those of us, I know some of us in this room this morning are still in school, and we know that there's many challenging conversations that take place around friendships. Some of us can remember those days ourselves. Some of us are still, I know, involved in school places where very challenging, when the conversations that people are saying, the things that people are saying about us or about our friends. And often we have a choice. Are we people pleasers or are we authentic friends? Are we willing to sometimes have an awkward conversation, perhaps maybe even confronting people? Sometimes speaking up and speaking well means taking a risk, upsetting the apple cart. But maybe that's what higher level, authentic, real loyal friendships look like. I don't know about you, but I want to be known as a loyal friend. The second thing that authentic friendship looks like is authentic friendships, they aren't jealous or insecure. Apparently, the main cause for relational breakdown is all linked to jealousy and insecurity. And we see it here in this story again, don't we? Saul is so relieved that when David steps up and helps him out with killing Goliath, and we read that David is incredibly successful, not just in that incident, but then going forward, everything he does, the Bible tells us that God's favor was upon David and everything he did was successful. And he rises up through the ranks of the Israelite army. And initially, of course, Saul is totally happy with David and he wants him to come and eat and serve in the palace. But when Saul hears what the women are singing, and of course, we don't know the motivation behind this song, but the women with their tambourines, they may have been singing things that they was potentially positive. Maybe they were just quoting some facts and figures towards Saul and David. But I don't know about you, but I can understand why Saul would be slightly miffed at this song. It doesn't sound like something that you'd be particularly pleased to hear, does it? The comparison between Saul and David. And we read in this passage, it says that from that time on, Saul kept a jealous eye on David. And of course, the song wasn't one that Saul particularly wanted to hear, but he has a choice to make, as we all do. The choice to respond favorably, or the choice to become jealous and insecure. And of course, in many cases, this is a response which we find in our own society, isn't it? We don't talk about it often, but insecurity and jealousy, they feed off each other, don't they? And before we know it, we find in our own lives comparisons and competition and things that we're looking at, we identify in others. Before we know it, we find ourselves with resentment and bitterness. And we don't talk about jealousy often, but I think there's a lot more of it around that can creep into our lives, certainly in those around us. And in this story, we see that eventually jealousy develops to such an extent within Saul that he starts throwing spears. But of course, Jonathan reacts very differently. There's no rivalry or competition. He's more interested in friendship than his position. And the thing I love about this story is that Jonathan knows that David is called, he's anointed to be the next king. And Jonathan might be, he would have expected potentially to have been the next king himself, and yet somehow he's able to be happy with the anointing that God has put on someone else. And I'm sure there's things for us to learn there as well, that I want us to be people, and I'm grateful that we are people who recognize the anointing in other people and to want the best for them, to support them, to lift them to a higher level. And David, of course, his trust is in God, and that's where his security is. And we see that in the story of David and Goliath. When he's out there, he's saying, I'm here in the name of the Lord, and that's where my trust is. And yet Saul's security comes from his role as king. And of course, Saul starts off well. You'll know the story, many of you will. And these days, we don't have physical spears, or most of us don't anyway. I hope you don't have physical spears. But we have different things, don't we, that we can sometimes be in danger of throwing it at other people. Perhaps these days our spears are things like gossip. Perhaps they're putting other people down. Perhaps it's a dangerous thing to do, but I'm aware that if I pause for a moment, I can sometimes find myself in some of the situations. Do you do the same thing? Identifying things that you said or thought which aren't good, positive responses. And the Bible talks a lot about how we respond and the things that we say. Ephesians 4 says, let everything you say be good and helpful, so that your words will be an encouragement to those that hear them. Well, what's the opposite of reacting out of jealousy and insecurity? Well, of course, we seek to encourage and promote people. And I believe, actually, one of the things that I said at the start, and I'm excited about in our church family, is that actually I believe that we can lift people to another level as we encourage, as we honour, as we release them. People who are set free from insecurity and jealousy can become free to fly, if you like, in the things of God. And if we spot and if we identify feelings of insecurity and jealousy, what do? Well, let's be quick to give them to God, and let's become quick at doing that. And finally, the third thing, authentic friendship requires self-sacrifice. There's so many great examples of people who sacrifice themselves for others. And I know there's lots of examples in this room, and I'm grateful to have so many role models around when I've been growing up, of people who've given of themselves, who sacrificed themselves, who put themselves out in times when actually there's two options. One is to do the thing that is comfortable. One is to do the thing. The other is to do the thing that is very uncomfortable and inconvenient. 1 Corinthians 10 verse 24 says, a true friend will keep seeking not his own advantage, but that of another person. And the love that Jonathan and David have for each other was a sacrificial love. It's the type of love that the Bible calls agape. It's the selfless love that's not looking for anything in return. And the love that Jonathan and David have for one another was based on commitment, loyalty, and self-sacrifice. And as I say those words, doesn't it sound like the same type of response that our God has towards us? John 3:16 says, "For God so," you could say, "agape'd the world that he sacrificed his only son." The ultimate model of sacrificial love. And if we want to love like that, then of course we need to make sure that we're connected to the source, that we're in relationship with Jesus himself. We sing a song sometimes, don't we, those of you who are here regularly on a Sunday, we sing the song, "I am a friend of God." And one of the places that this song comes from is Romans 5, verse 10. It says, "For since our friendship with God was restored by the death of his son, while we were still his enemies, we will certainly be saved through the life of his son." And of course, as we think about what authentic friendship looks like, there's a number of responses. I don't know about you, but I'm grateful and I thank God for the friends that God has put around me. And maybe this morning, there's kind of five things that I've got in terms of a response this morning. The first one is gratitude. Because I don't know about you, but I want to thank God for the friends that God has put around me. And maybe part of our response this morning is to take an opportunity to tell people that we're grateful for their friendship. Maybe there are some that that are not local. How many of us have got friendships that are not just local but around the world, potentially some of them? Claire and I have the opportunity to travel. We're on our way to America tomorrow because someone invited us to go. And the reason we're going, we know that it will be good. Some of you will know Dwayne and Chris White, our friends from Texas, and they invited us to go and be part of something that they're doing with their leaders. And thinking about it, the reason that we said yes to going actually is mainly, fundamentally, because of friendship. And I said at the start the quote in the Bible about good friendship nourishing your soul. Well, can I just suggest that we make sure that we have good friends around us who nourish and feed our souls? And on a day when we are remembering, that maybe it's an opportunity to remember some friends who, for whatever reason, we're thanking God for, because they're not a part of our lives today. And secondly, I want to encourage us this morning. Maybe as I've reminded us of these few short things this morning. You know, when we talk about some of this stuff, I never want us to beat ourselves up. Because actually what we want to do is we encourage one another to take a step to lift us to the next level. I'm so grateful that Ashwood Church is full of people who have authentic friendships. But every time we read God's word and we know that there's going to be challenges, that how can we lift ourselves to the next level in terms of what authentic friendship looks like? And my prayer today, for me, part of my response is, please God, help me to be the best friend that I can be to others. Thirdly, this morning, you might be new to Ashwood Church, or maybe you've been around a while, but as I've been speaking, you're aware that you'd love to have the opportunity to develop meaningful two-way friendships with people. And so there might be some of us this morning who say, well, how can I get connected to that? Well, one of the things that is really important to us as church is our life groups. They're a place where we want to be with other people, and the reason we call them life groups rather than anything else is because they're important places where we do life together. It's not just about meetings or formalities, but actually it's something that expresses something much more than that as to what we do when we live together as followers of Jesus on a journey to know and love him better. But we don't do it on our own. We're alongside other people. And we've got plenty of people who are constantly joining our life groups, wanting to be connected. And of course, that doesn't mean that life groups are a place where they'll be the only friendships that we have. And often they're not the places where we'd have what you might call your best friends. But actually, they are really healthy, good places where we can together get to know people. And if you'd like to be part of one of those, then please talk to Gary and Pam or Molly, who would love to get you connected. And fourthly, I want to remind us as church, I mentioned it before, but actually as church, we're all about helping people find and follow Jesus. So once people are on a journey of following Jesus, then often they'll be connected to a life group and we'll do that together. We love it. But those of you who were here last week on Baptism Sunday, I don't know if you noticed, but in the stories of those people being baptized, of Sally and Rich and Caroline, did you notice how friendship was such an important part of their story? And if we're going to be people who can help people find and follow Jesus, then friendship, of course, isn't going to be limited to what we do in this room together. If we are going to be people who operate with authentic friendships, then hopefully there's going to be many more people who are going to be a part of all that we're doing. And of course, a lot of that involves self-sacrifice. You know, we had some, those of you who've been around will hear some of the prophetic words we've had about God talking to us about being uncomfortable. Well, there are times when, for the sake of other people, we're going to feel uncomfortable at times, aren't we? It's not always easy. There are times, there are moments when it's awkward, where it feels uncomfortable as we sacrifice some of the things that we might enjoy or like for the sake of those who don't yet know Jesus. And finally, and this could be the most important, maybe you're sat here this morning thinking all this friendship stuff sounds good, but actually I'm not even sure I've got a friendship with God. And this morning is an opportunity, again, like many Sunday mornings, where you can say, I want to make that decision, I want to make that choice to have a friendship with Jesus himself. So why don't we close our eyes as we draw our time to a close. It'd be great to sing something, Paul, in the moment, just as a part of our response. Just going to take a moment, just give us all a space just to respond to God in the quietness on our own. And if there are things that you'd like to practically do, I guess friendship, authentic friendship, in many ways involves a practical response. And if that's the case, then I encourage you to do that this morning. Hopefully the things that I've just talked about in these moments are helpful. Hopefully they encourage us. Maybe they stir us in some ways. Maybe they challenge us. But of course, as we listen to these things, my prayer is that the Holy Spirit stirs things within us so that we individually as well as corporately can respond. And there's a personal element, and of course, hopefully you'll catch a sense of the bigger picture as well as we talk about this topic.